like this is creating trouble because people don't know. So once again, just an observation. Just an observation.
No, thank you, sir. And at least in one case, Ron, let me say one thing, of course, relocation. The option came up on us so quickly, you know.
And I understand all that, but, you know, these details have been ongoing. This has been coming out of last year into this year. And, you know, people are asking questions that they should have had answers to a long time ago, you know, including this whole relocation, you know, issue. So you've got to consult with this body on an ongoing basis so that, you know, because there are votes that have to be taken, you know, responsibilities that have to be, you know, distributed. You know, that's like I say, it's an observation.
And Jerry, in terms of I'm not going to go into it right now, but however quickly the relocation came up, it was not too quick for a phone call or an email to the chair of the LSB or a member of the relocation committee just to say, this is moving fast. This is what we're trying to do. That's all. It is now 7:56. I am going to open the door for community comment. Eric, Eddie, and Sue, I have you on the list. If you, thank you for your patience. There are a lot of people in the room. I'm going to ask people to hold their comments to 2 minutes. And if there aren't a lot of people speaking, you can have another bite of the apple after that, after we go through everyone, if you so choose. And the first hand I see is from someone named Biyuki Williams.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. I just tuned in about 30 minutes ago, and it is clear that the decision that you as a body made back in September was the right decision in terms of leadership at the station. So I'm really pleading with you to follow through to support, you know, Julie and Donna and Vanessa. I don't see Sue on. I don't know if that's a different Sue. Please follow through on what you've already started, and encourage the PMB to follow through and finish the job that you started. In the last 30 minutes, it became, 30 minutes, is there sloppy bookkeeping? The treasurer has not been given access to the numbers since October. Ron just eloquently stated that that Jerry came to the meeting unprepared. Basically, he doesn't have the numbers that everyone needs, and he doesn't communicate the information to everyone.
1 minute.
Thank you. Special programming today. He didn't even realize special programming. He wasn't going to have to pitch with Cornbit Lakai. He does not have a finger on the pulse of the station. He's not a strong leader for WPFW, and we're making a move, and he never started a moving fund, a new acquisition fund, a
30 seconds
fund. So please, I'm pleading with our PMB members to please follow through on what you started, what this LSB did, listen to us and understood what we said. Please continue and finish the action. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would someone else like to speak? Is there a hand I'm not seeing?
I'm here.
Yeah, but you're a board member.
Oh, okay.
This is for the community. There are a lot of people here. I expect there'll be some comments in the chat, but it would be appreciated if you have a comment or a question or a concern, if you would share it for all of us. Sabu. and then Betty.
Yes, good evening, everybody. And Happy New Year and all that stuff. Yeah, there is some issues at the station, some very serious issues at the station, but there's always been a divide between the board and management when I was chair and before I became the chair several years before that. And it was never really straightened out. And so what you have is the I guess the buildup of all that, you know, catching up with the station and stuff. Yes, the station does need to have some corrections and do some things to get things straight. But you have to be very, very careful at the time and the place and how you do that. So that's as far as the relocation committee.
One minute.
For several years, you know, when I was chair, before I became chair, they had a relocation committee. And I found out that in the travels of talking to real estate people to find commercial space, that they wanted money. They wanted to know what kind of money you had. So I'm not too sure in regard to that move that, the station is making or thinking about it. But as some of the board members have said,
there has to
be some money. Thank you. There has to be some money in that account or something in order to make that kind of move. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabu. Betty Shaw.
Good evening, board members. I just want to report back that last month I inquired about the receipt for my $1,000 donation I had made to the station. And I just want to let everyone know that the response was expeditious and I have received my receipt for that donation. And I thank everyone who was involved in ensuring that I did get that receipt. So thank you.
Thank you. Glad to hear it. Good news, good news. Okay. Is there another civilian hand? All right.
I'm a civilian.
Okay.
Can I speak?
Is this ending in 06 on the phone? Ending in 065?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you may speak.
Yeah, I actually wanted to request at the station, the programming, consider some kind of a policy for programmers so that there is more call-in time on the shows for community comment. Some of the shows are never featuring a community comment section. Other shows do it very reliably. And I understand that each programmer has, you know, some of my favorite programmers that I think are extremely valuable, don't have any call-in time. And I know that they have a lot to say, but it would seem that the station could have some kind of policy whereby programmers for the talk shows or the news shows could be required at least once every 2 months to allot half an hour for comments. And I'm, you know, I was particularly concerned of weeks ago, the labor show had a feature where it just gave a pretty much 100% endorsement of the U.S. position on the war in the Ukraine. And there's no opportunity whatsoever for anybody to call in to dissent from that. So I think that that's a serious problem. And it runs counter to the whole history of WPFW. And also, I think all of the people who are doing community comment each week are doing a good job, but I have a real question about there being three males who are seniors. I'm a senior myself, but it's not representative of diversity. And very often their commentary is long enough so that it doesn't really permit lots of time for community input. And so I think there needs to be some rethinking there in terms of diversity of gender, ethnicity, what have you, and what their actual role should be. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your helpful comments. Is there anyone else who would care to speak to the group? Okay, Miyuki, you're back. You've got more
okay,
time.
If I have another bite? Is it okay if I have another bite? Or
yes, you may have another bite. Okay.
I wanted to ask Julie, would it be possible for programmers to speak to the PMB directly as we did to the LSB? Because apparently the four of you alone don't seem to have enough support to make the decisions. And it's just very difficult as a programmer at a African-American station to be ignored by the PNB or to have the LSB be ignored when over 50 programmers signed this document saying that there was an issue. You all as LSB members did what you did, but for some reason it stopped up in the PNB. So can we make a presentation directly to the other members of the PNB, please?
I think the answer to that is probably yes. What I cannot tell you is when, and that's because we didn't get to the PNB report. And I'm not sure that I can say a lot of what I would have to say anyways in open session, but
okay. I appreciate it.
This is not the only thing we got going on. That's all I'm trying to say. But I appreciate, you know, your kind offer of spending time with us because I think it would help.
And let me just add this, Julie, that if you are able to get to an answer to that, if you could share that with me or one of the other directors so that Miyuki could then contact someone to get an answer.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, you know, what I'd like to be able to do is, you know, be able to tell you like a week in advance, you know, we might be able to hear from you at this meeting. I will warn you that it would likely have to be late at night, like after 10 p.m. on the Eastern Coast, on, you know, the East Coast.
This is important enough that I'm sure we can. And how many people should it be, or how many representatives would be appropriate for?
Time.
Maybe if you don't mind, if we could sort of figure that out offline. I don't
thank
have a
good
answer
much.
For you,
thank
but,
you
but I'll help you.
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you all for your work.
Yeah, thanks, Miyuki. All right, we have another hand, Mr. Byfield.
Greetings. I'm the last LSB meeting. I had asked for why are we still having board meetings on Zoom 3 years when there are stadiums filled with people, with hundreds of thousands of people. I'm going to request that we resume in-person meetings, and we can still maintain Zoom for the gerontology department that wants to stay at home in fear of getting COVID or whatever kind of disability they may be afraid of. I didn't get any notice, and I'm, you know, a full-fledged member, and I'm quite sure if I'm not getting messages, then there's probably another 300 or 400 members that are not getting notices about LSB meetings. I think that's a better way to address the radio, which is what we've been used to since its history. In my last LSB meeting, there were members that basically decided that they were not gonna come back to the station. And
1 minute.
I have a lot of disagreements with the board, with the general manager, which I voiced in that particular meeting. However, I don't want the station to go down, and I'll do everything possible to make sure that it stays up rather than cut the baby in half, because I don't like one guy or I don't like his leadership style. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jerry, it's probably a longer conversation, but do you have, what is your immediate answer to the possibility of reopening the station.
I would like to consult with everybody there first. Some of those people are on this call. But I think there's a strong possibility that we could reopen gradually, not fully, but gradually over the course of the next month.
All right. Well, for our purposes, we're talking about once a month because our target would be being able to have the
LSD meetings on site,
right? With hybrid capacity. Not only because some people wouldn't want to, but because I don't know what the prime occupancy for the space would be with some kind of spacing. There's like close to 40 people on the call now. So yes, we will, that's something that I would very much like to consider. Tony, Leon.
So you would be talking about April then?
At this point, possibly May, but the first step would be to consult with the station staff and get a consensus and recommendation and what the basis for the decision would be. You know, what kind of protocols are you looking toward, and what would be the protocols in place not just for a handful of people working there, which is a different magnitude of arrangement, right? So there's one thing for, three or four people at a time working in the space, and it's another thing for, 20 or 30 people in there at a time.
Okay. I will start the process of polling, seeing exactly how our people feel. And I'm personally leaning towards opening the station.
And I'm going to add that to the action item. So that's something that we remember to keep track on, follow up on, and we should also follow up on that in the coordinating committee meeting so that we don't lose track of that thread.
What about all the libraries we used to meet at?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
We were meeting at libraries when we couldn't meet at the station.
Yep.
So, there's plenty of space in some of the libraries to accommodate this number of attendees without a problem.
Good point.
Yeah. And I also wanted to thank Miyuki with her comment about the GM not having his finger on the pulse. This has gone on for a while. I understand that he's in there a lot by himself, but we have also suggested that he delegate some of his responsibilities to the LSB members and some of the committee members. I'm on the finance committee. Myself and others have offered their support. I don't know if anyone, has been, been called in to help out at the station with pitching and so on from the LSB. I haven't heard any LSB members, but I know that you guys have offered your support. So again, here we are in the same situation that we were in
1 minute,
2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. A lot of questions, no answers. Where's the transparency? Where's the transparency? That's when we need it. We can't, on the finance committee, we can't do our job as mandated by the bylaws without information. And the LSB can't do their job without the information. So
30 seconds.
Things will change. Some pressure will be, appropriately placed. And we start making some progress because this station needs to move forward. We've been stagnant for a long time. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, before I forget, there's Etta at a recent meeting, there was someone on the board who actually volunteered to contact or research libraries for hosting board meetings. If you were that person, do you remember who you were? Okay, well, let me put that out there, that if someone has those contacts from the past with the LSB or from another life, let me know. I'll start making some calls. Okay, are there any other from the community? If not, going once, going twice.
You've got a 919 there. Is that not
Ellen? Community? Is that you?
Maybe it's Ellen.
Yes, that's me. I don't know who. Yes, that was me. I don't know who was going to do the library, check into the different libraries, but I can. Years ago, we always went to the different libraries. Just let me know what you want. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. And Ellen, just for the record, every member except Yao has checked into the meeting, so he should be recorded as absent, but everyone else is present.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We will return to the business of the board, and Eric, thank you for your patience. You had a question.
Thank you. Quick question and a quick comment. Gary, let me just mention condolences on and say how sorry we are to hear the death of the contributor. It occurred to me, I mentioned this some years ago. I'm not saying it should have gotten attention because I mentioned it, but we're one of the few stations in the area, public stations that don't have a donation process in terms of wills or funds being bequeathed on the death of a listener. This is something that would probably have been quite helpful then, but just across the board, our station next door, I mean, they pushed this heavily to say, for example, remember WPFW in your will or in your estate. So, I mean, I would like to see us pursue that. But my other question is, I noticed the station is moving shortly. In terms of relocation, is a commercial, I don't know what we called it before, in terms of purchasing, where we had several years ago brought in a commercial real estate broker, is that off the burner? Is that still viable? Was that still on the table?
We still have a broker.
Okay, very good. So my comment then just would be, I think it would be helpful if we push the program for persons to donate to the station through their will or estate. Thank you.
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea at this point to ask for some moving funds as well. Thomas, I see your hand. You're in the queue. Addie, you're next.
Addie, you're muted.
Still muted, okay. Nope, you're muted again. Now, speak now.
He's frozen.
Oh.
Suggest that she turn her video off.
Computer. But
try turning
your video. I'm having some slow.
Try turning your video off.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, we can hear you.
Okay. Well, I just want to weigh in briefly to say that this issue with the personnel activity is not only highly irregular in my view, but also unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. If the LSB is to have some kind of fiduciary responsibility for the station and to be left out of these decisions entirely, or at least, you know, notification of them, and we still, after tonight, don't know what the responsibilities of somebody who was just hired, what those responsibilities are, and the payment is coming out of the WPFW budget, that is entirely, entirely unacceptable. And I don't normally speak in these terms, but I find this really not only unacceptable, but deeply insulting to this body. So that's what I have to say.
Thank you, Eddie. Sue.
Okay, building on some of the comments we've already heard, what I want to hear very specifically is what are the responsibilities of this public affairs director position? Because what Jerry said is they are to report to the FCC four times a year. I can't believe there's more than that. And what the responsibilities in which he believes it encompasses, what are they paid? Secondly, I do want to question the interim program director changing the grid. Now, my understanding of any interim position is that you don't make major changes without consulting the person with that position. And I'm not clear that that was done, and I want to know how Jerry plans to address it.
There's two questions, and let's drill through both of them.
Yes.
As IPD, changes that I understand that Esther made to the grid were where there were holes, program holes in the grid. There were programs that had been, to my understanding, replayed over three or four times over and over again. So it was to fill slots that needed to be filled. More recently, in terms of public affairs, she was making observations in terms of how public affairs programming were performing in the pledge drive. We've had a couple of programs that have had zero donations over the course of several drives. And zero is much more severe than just a little bit of a donation. It's almost a statement being made by the listener saying, we don't support the show at all. And we had to do something. So in terms of public affairs, her responsibilities, how does that impact our news people? I'm not certain. News is kind of unto itself. It is beyond public affairs. I don't know that Esther would be changing the structure of news, but just the public affairs programming. I'd like to take a look at the history because Minot was considered a part of the news team, perhaps to the detriment of WPFW News, but she was part of the news team and she was a public affairs coordinator. There's got to be some type of integration and support to news from her. She'd be working to support you, Sue, I would imagine.
Well, thank you, Jerry. But are you taking away responsibilities from Katia?
Because
that's
away.
What it is at the heart of this, right?
That would be at the heart of this then. Of course, I wouldn't characterize it as taking away. Katia Stitt should be a program director, not all the other tasks that she was doing on top of being program director. We should be unloading Katia. Now, it's not meant to be a slight. It is not at all meant to be a slight.
Is it true that the public affairs director or coordinator, when the position was filled before, I've heard this and I don't know, I'm honestly asking, that that position reported to the program director?
And that would be Gloria.
Yes, structurally, yes. Operationally,
Structurally, that is a change that you have made.
Yes, but now we're getting into discussions that I think are tracking into personnel.
I'm asking about structure of the this organizational structure.
Okay.
And let me also follow in terms of the interim. Would any programming decisions made by an interim, would those be subject to review by the permanent person in the position?
Great question. Review, absolutely.
So a permanent, somebody is in a temporary position would not be in a position to make permanent decisions.
No, particularly when the staff person returned.
Correct.
Okay. I would prefer not to have the staff person tear down the work that was done.
I'm not even getting into all that. I just asked a simple question.
Understood. But no, the staff person has override.
I've seen too much tearing down going in different directions. I'm just asking a specific question.
Forgive me for jumping in. So we need to do a little repair work here.
Okay, Sue.
Because it does appear that Esther did make some decisions that I believe exceeded her authority. So how do we repair that?
We consult with the PD and undo it if necessary. Where were the mistakes made?
She moved a few shows. She tried to move Malvo, but that didn't really work.
And I was painfully aware of that. That didn't work. And it was unfortunate. It was very, very, very unfortunate because it was thought it was going to make life easier. That was the initial sentiment of the whole thing, was it's going to make life easier for Julianne because she's in a different time zone.
Okay.
It doesn't work for her.
No, it does not. And
I've got to go back through my emails to look at other. But in general, just let me say, I don't think interim should be making decisions.
So the answer to the question is that those decisions should be
superseded
and reviewed and approved by the permanent person. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to tighten up some of these questions, folks. We've got a long line, which is fine. I've got Thomas, Verna, Irene, Kamau, Donna, Vanessa, and Eric. And I need to know if someone who is on the computer can continue to monitor that.
Do you want a time, Chair?
Dennis is muted.
All right, I'm muted already. Yeah, Kamau, are you on the computer? Can you see to manage the conversation?
Not really, but I can manage time if you want that 2 minute or.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, will you all pay attention to Kamau? I'll be back. All right. Thomas, Verna, Irene, in that order.
I'm going to attempt to make a motion. It's very ragged. And I accept any amendments that would strengthen it. And then I'm going to reserve the right to comment on the motion as we lead into a vote, and I ask for your seconds, and bear with me.
Go with the motion, sir.
The motion is that the discussion that was held around financing and the director's report be recorded in the minutes and be the minutes and the recording be sent to the PNB as an attachment to the resolution that was passed regarding the executive director that Mayushi referred to.
Second.
That,
hold on. Go ahead. Continue with your motion, please.
That WPFW PNB members support the resolution and the attached report explaining the resolution at a PNB meeting and direct the executive director to consider that resolution in their deliberations of the September resolution.
Okay.
Any duplications and redundancies may be removed by the chairman, Manera Sanders of the special committee, and the chairman, Dennis Williams, in consultation with each other.
Second.
Okay, let me see if we can.
Resolution. May I speak on my motion?
Your motion, if we could, just kind of tighten it up. So we can get it down here. So the motion is to attach the recording and transcript of the discussion around finances at tonight's LSB meeting to the motion that was passed in September regarding what now?
There was a motion sent that Mayuki referred to, but I don't know the date.
Regarding the motion sent to the PNB?
Julie's trying to say something.
All I'm reminding people is we are in open session, and the thing that we passed, the motion that we passed as an LSB, was a closed session. And good so point. We're treading dangerous. It's like the ice is really thin here. Oh, we don't have ice anymore. Never mind. Sorry. But you get the point.
Yes, I got you. I'm going to move.
Exactly. It's a point of order here. That's very important, what she just said.
Yeah.
Dennis, you're back, but.
Yes.
Eric Ramey, could you mute just briefly for me? I'm hearing some background from you, and then I can go ahead, Dennis.
No. So what was there is a motion.
It's a motion on the floor. Yep.
And the motion pertains to the action that the board an action that the board took last year.
There was significant discussion here tonight.
Yes.
That provides information that needs to be transmitted to the PNB.
Yes.
Okay. And Julie is correct. So how do we capture our relevant discussion?
Well, what you can do is make a motion out of what there was an appeal in community comment. You can make a motion for a resolution for the board to push the PNB to follow up on the LSB's.
That's where I was trying to underscore and bring Ron back into the discussion. It's not the LSB. Slap me if I'm wrong. The general manager here recognizes that the LSB has bark but no bite. The decision maker in the Pacifica Network is the PNB and the executive director.
Right. So you're asking.
We are an advisory committee.
Right.
So you're asking the board.
So what is it that you want us as an advisory committee to do?
To send the discussion and the data that was revealed in tonight's discussion, and how it undermines our ability to deliver effective recommendations for the management of our station.
Okay. Let me just say, what is the point of order?
That we're talking about things that were discussed. We can't talk about this meaningfully because it was
all right. Okay. Session. All right. What my answer is that Thomas, what you're going to say, we don't because I'm going to do that.
I didn't understand what you just said.
That's the closed session.
If you're talking about sharing things from this meeting, that will be done.
To what? To what degree?
With the PNB.
I think we need to focus everybody. You know, there was nothing said about any names in my resolution, in my motion. I didn't call any names.
Go ahead and structure the motion and then we'll vote then.
Mm-hmm. I've already read it once.
All right.
Chair, may I make an amendment? I'm trying to, whenever it's appropriate, to try to make an amendment.
Okay, I thought I heard Thomas say that he would welcome.
I welcome amendments because I did this off of back of envelope.
Okay, so I would like to amend the motion to read that in addition to the audio taping and transcript of tonight's discussion, that there is a letter from 40 programmers, that be included as well to the PNB, as well as the audio tape and transcript of, and I don't remember, it was in either in August or September, there was a particular LSB meeting where...
I believe that was already shared?
Not really, no. Yeah. So with...
Say something. These motions are very long, and according to Robert's Rules of Order, when they're long like this, they need to be put in writing. Seriously, because it's really confusing, and no one knows what they're voting and why they're voting on. So we have to tighten these up a little bit so that people can follow what you're saying. We don't need a history. We just need to know what it is you want.
That's what I was in the process of doing. I was recognized to speak and was trying to finish.
All right. Following up on Irene's point of order, I'm going to take a couple of other points. Thomas, I want you to draft this up and see if you can do it and do it a little bit more tightly.
Is there a way that I can have it on the records for tonight and lay it over to the next meeting?
To the next month?
Opportunity to write it. I'm not going to write it right now. You'd be surprised at my state of mind right now.
Chair, point of your question. Kamau, can you help with this? I'm in the car and unable to help.
No, wait a minute. Irene is correct. This is not in a form that is suitable to be voted on at the moment. It's still part of a discussion. Thomas wants to carry it over. Unless somebody later in the meeting can come up with a snappier version of it.
So can I move it and table it?
Well, that's what Kamau was doing. He had come up with a snappier version. I was trying to add something to it. And then the addition, it seems, is what got objected to. We can certainly put it in the chat so people can read it or send an email.
Okay. All right.
That's what I was asking if Kamau could help with. Okay.
All right. I see that. All right. Kamau, can you read what you had or do you remember what you... we're saying for the motion?
So the motion, I believe, that Thomas is trying to articulate is that the PNB receive audio and transcript of tonight's discussion around the financial position of the WPFW station, and that also go to the PNB with the original letter sent from staffers concerning the station's management.
Okay. Is there a second?
Exactly.
Second.
Yes.
Is there any objection? There are already a lot of hands up, so if you object, you have to speak. And if so, we'll call the roll. Okay. No objections. The motion is carried. Kamau, I'm going to ask you to just kind of scribble that up so that we can have that correct for the minutes.
You got it.
Okay.
Chair.
Yes.
John Tatum, good evening, everyone. I think this motion...
Vanessa, please mute.
Okay. This motion is something that is normally done. In other words, the minutes of this meeting tonight are available to anybody.
Understood.
The open meeting.
And understood.
So, yeah, and so also, someone is recording tonight.
Yes.
And so you can see the video and audio, and that will be on the Pacifica Network archive.
Understood.
And I understand too that some of the archives are missing. So I understand that. So the motion would be to, instead of going directly to the archives.
That was the motion. We're going to not, because in addition to the archives, we're going to send it directly to the people as suggested. That was the motion.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, I believe Verna was next in line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to address the issue of some of the programming that was changed by the interim program director. Albeit I understand that the permanent program director will have the opportunity to review those programs, but I think a serious matter needs to be discussed. The two programs that were replaced, one was replacing the Goethe Institute, which is a longtime partner and a supporter that, even though they may not have gotten any pledge accounts, they have granted the station $8,000 and were poised to grant another $8,000. This is a partner that has had a long time relationship with the station and has even participated in other programs and things like the Aretha Franklin event at the Lincoln at the center. I'm forgetting the name of the institution that actually hosted that program, the Aretha Franklin event. And also the other one was—
Excuse me. Somebody's making a lot of noise in the background. Everyone except Verna, please mute.
The other one was Led by Love, which is a youth restorative justice program. And that is one of the few youth-oriented programs that we have on this station, and a very critical one. And the reason that perhaps some programs are being replayed was because there's a need to make an adjustment in terms of them getting their new producer. So, and also some of the programming that was replacing, the two programs that were replacing these, and they really raise a specter, because the host, they're hosted by former paid Sputnik radio hosts, Russian radio. Sputnik radio is a propaganda arm of the Russian government. And so to have these two hosts that were at one time paid by the Russian government can create a serious problem of appearance for us as a radio station. Now, we can't determine whether these hosts are still being paid by Sputnik Radio, but the mere fact that they have been in the past and they're now hosting shows on our station could present a very serious problem. Not only that, our new interim program director at the time also appears regularly on Sputnik Radio. And, you know, this is creating an appearance that maybe there is some sort of—
Bill Curtis, you need to stay. I think I'm seeing you're going in and out of mute, but okay, I see you're muted now. Thank you. I'm seeing noise coming from your box. Go ahead, Verna.
So I'm just saying it's creating the impression that WPFW may be pro-Russia influenced and maybe coming under the influence of the pro-Russian government by having hosts and commentators that were at one time paid hosts on Sputnik Radio. You see, because the court of public opinion is not a fair and balanced court. people believe what they want to believe. And, you know, take the Trump big lie. Half the country right now believes that Trump won the election. Is that true? No, we know that. But the court of public opinion is not reasonable. And if we have this, these hosts on our radios, on our airways, that at one time, you know, were paid by the Russian government, it could raise the appearance that we are, you know, under the influence. And it just takes one phone call to the FCC with a complaint for them to investigate WPFW. And we don't have those kind of resources to mount a strong legal defense against something like that. And I mean, historically, Pacifica has been targeted in the past. I mean, there's the famous case of William Mandel, who was a KPFA programmer. He was a Sovietologist. He was brought under investigation in the 50s and 60s because of his show on the Soviet Union. Now, he is a famous free speech icon because of his bold, in-your-face, you know, famous testimony to the House Un-American Activities Committee, or HUAC. But he was pulled before that committee. And, you know, he's proof that Congress has its eye on Pacifica and its stations. And there are so many right-wing Republicans gunning for public radio and TV. In fact, just recently, they reintroduced legislation to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and NPR. And we don't want to give them the ammunition to take them down. I can assure you, if the CPR thinks that we are going to be a danger or a threat to them getting their funding, you know, whether it's true or not, if the appearance is being created, then what do you think the chances are of us ever getting our CPB funding back? Okay. And, you know, it's
time. All right. Time, Dennis.
Yeah, Verna, we're okay.
And yes, this is a serious matter.
It is serious, and we've got a lot of people weighing in. So we are gonna, at this point, I'm gonna impose the 2-minute limit. Kamau, you're next in line.
Okay, I think I can't tell if Jerry's still there, but I thought I heard Jerry say that decisions were made in and around programming as to whether or not a particular program receives contributions, that if you're receiving zero contributions, that program is not viable and not worth being aired. Is that the criteria for programmers? And secondly, what does the station have in place, hopefully written, that actually allows to assist programmers when they are falling short on their programming goals and their fundraising goals? Is there an actual program in place to help with that before one is removed from, or there's before their program is taken off off air?
Okay, and Jerry, before you answer that, I just wanted to, there was one other item. There was so much going on, I didn't want to mention it, but in the last meeting, you also promised to review and get back to us with some comment on the Programmer's Bill of Rights that we forwarded to management a year ago.
Okay. Going straight to Kamau's questions. There is no structure, you're right, for helping struggling programmers, if you will, except that when we go into pledge drives, we typically have programmer meetings. And unfortunately, it is the successful programmers that tend to come to these meetings. It is not the programmers that really need the help. The ones that need the help tend not to come to the meetings. So it's a bit of a dilemma. And you're asking an age-old question that I have asked of this body. I have asked of the program director. I have asked of the executive director. What are the parameters that we judge, by which we judge the performance of our programs? Because is it strictly how they do in pledge drive, or is there another metric in terms of the value of the programming? I'm sure there are other metrics, but it's hard to state what those are. For instance, we had a really good broadcast the other day at Ben's Chili Bowl. Didn't make any money, but in terms of PR for the station and community presence, it was a valuable effort. So age old question.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, if I could, it sounded like you're saying the decision to remove a program was based on their inability to raise funds. Is that how we are measured? I'm a programmer. That's why I'm asking.
Yes, I see. No, it is not, except for when it's just flat line zero across the board, across multiple drives. If it's zero, there's a problem there. And if we can listen to the programming and identify a problem with the programming that says this might be why, then we have to act on it.
Jim. Thank you, sir.
Donna.
Thank you, yes. I'm thinking about this in terms of a couple of questions that haven't been addressed at all. Several people asked about the duties of the public affairs director. It's not clear to us what that position entails. What is the scope of that position? That's one. Number two, the programming committee has asked for some time for input on the quality of programs. The programs that you're talking about now that have been taken off because they raised no money, those of us who are listeners, I think have no visibility into who's not producing any money, you know, who's not raising any money or not. And so those of you who are staff, you know, as LSB members, the rest of us don't know. I don't know why shows are taken off. Led by Love is one I used to listen to all the time. But I think it's a bad look to put programs on and take them off. And so to say that now the program director can, when she comes back and is feeling better, she can take it off if she doesn't like it. What does that say to the community? There's jerking programs around. That's happened too many times. And then lastly, my last point is that I do think this issue about Russian influence is important, but I think we need to have a separate discussion about that. And I would suggest that we put that on the agenda of a future meeting, because there are pros and cons, and it's more than just Esther who is connected with, who has that connection. I've heard other programs, I heard Garland say the same thing. He listens to Russian television. So what does that mean? And how does that make us vulnerable? I think we need to allow adequate time and perhaps involve somebody possibly from Pacifica as well. Okay, those are my points. So Jerry, you say polls were filled and programs were taken off. How do we know that as LSB? We don't know anything. The grid was updated, but programs are coming on, new programs are coming on, and maybe they're good. Old programs are taken off. We don't know why. And we asked for Nielsen ratings, Jerry. We asked for the, Max Merrick asked for the Nielsen ratings, because that was one way to be able to judge, you know, how are our shows doing at different times of the day. And he was not able to get that information. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Hold on. And let me ask you, Donna, assuming the program committee is going to meet before the LSB, I would like you to take the first crack at sort of trying to structure a more comprehensive conversation about the Russian influenced programming.
I could make a proposal. Is it, you asked me to make a proposal?
Yeah, to have the conversation first in the program committee and
kick it from
there. And yeah.
I'm not the new, we had elections and I'm not the chair.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry.
But so I don't want to step on toes.
Okay.
But I will move that we put on the next LSB agenda, if that's appropriate.
Okay. You don't need a motion, I've got it.
Influence in our programming.
Okay, you don't need a motion, I've got it.
Okay, thank you.
And whoever's, we haven't gotten to the program committee report yet, but whoever's listening from the program committee, I'd like you to do that too. Vanessa, you're next.
You skipped me, Dennis. You skipped me. I was fourth.
I'll wait. Vanessa's hand got up higher than yours, but yes, I remember you being there, Irene. And Vanessa has spoken more, so you may go ahead.
Thank you. One of the things that more important, I'm sort of like building on what Verna said, and Donna for that matter. One of the things that is important, and I think that we need to know, is how are these new programs chosen, period. What is the criteria for you to get an hour or two on WPFW? That's a question that I think that the programming committee should ask as well. Is there an SOP as to how shows are removed. What is the criteria for getting a show? Because they didn't come walk, they can't possibly be walking in the door.
Frozen. Irene, turn your screen off, maybe.
I would also like to know, what is the criteria for choosing someone for a show, for that slot? I'm still in my feelings about the 4 o'clock slot being moved from R&B. So I want to know what the criteria is when you remove a show and replace it.
Thank you. Now, Vanessa.
Okie doke. So when we first started this discussion during the GM report, I was asking some questions, and then Jerry had to leave. And in the interim, a lot of people have said a lot. So some of what I was asking about has been addressed in different ways. So I'll try to make this like super brief. In terms of the relocation, I think Ron said it very well. In terms of the need, the requirement for the GM to share information. The LSP gave him an instruction last month to come back with a report and a recommendation substantiated by data. And instead of doing that, that wasn't done. So all of a sudden, both the relocation committee, the LSB, the LSB chair, everybody finds out tonight, oh, by the way, yeah, this is the final decision. We don't know why. We don't know what data supports it. It's just a decision was made. So I find that completely unacceptable, really disrespectful of the process, the integrity of any sort of process. In terms of the budget, maybe that's already been addressed. I want to know, why is there no budget? And in the absence of a budget, why are all these additional positions being hired? There's the permanent PD. There's now this interim public affairs person slash whatever the other title is. Then there's now this interim development director. And so I would like to know, how can additional budget items possibly be just put in the budget in the absence of a budget? Last thing, I really resent the criticism of Gloria Minot. Jerry called out her name. Very inappropriate, extremely inappropriate to say her name in a negative vein. In terms of our grid, the permanent PD, CTIA, has accomplished the highest grid. We have a 0.8 of the market, which is great for community radio. And that's higher than all of the other Pacifica stations put together. If you add all their ratings together, ours is higher. And that's responsible for, she's responsible for the grid. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, and I can answer at least one of your questions. There is no budget because management has not produced a budget, nor has management provided the information or the collaboration with the finance committee that would allow the finance committee to work with management to produce a budget.
Who was management?
General manager.
Thank you.
And anyone else on the staff with that responsibility, who I assume would be the administrative assistant.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And any other designee to that purpose. Okay, Eric, and then I'm going to let Esther speak. She's now in the meeting.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think some clarification needs to be made here in terms of Esther possibly having, quote unquote, exceeded her authority. If she was brought in the capacity of interim program director, I'm going to suggest she, at the very least, had limited authority to make at least some changes, if not sweeping changes. Now, having said that, if it was always the intent to bring CTIA back as if she never left, the position that Esther had was actually not interim program director, it was acting program director. There's a huge difference. And if that distinction wasn't made, I mean, that's critical. there's an acting, which means that the permanent that Katia said is coming back. Okay. There's a huge difference between an acting and an interim. But secondly, I just want to say, people are saying, asking why programs were being yanked. Programs that are highly successful, or at least reasonably successful, are not at risk. You don't have to work at Cape Canaveral to figure that out. You know, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Esther, your position has been discussed, and you were part of the staff now. I'm going to give you a chance to speak.
Yes, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, and I know that staff often does not. I'm on my phone, so I can't really see the whole room here. But I wanted to make a few comments. I took the time to create an IPD summary, which laid out kind of a list of the different tasks, different jobs that I completed, you know, as interim program director. And I sent a copy to the LSB. I wanted you to know that and to make sure that you have it in your minutes or your folder, whatever however you organize your comments for this meeting. So I would allow that to be my main comment. In addition to that, I just want to say three or four things. I kind of came up here to try to set myself up on Zoom when Verna was talking about the programs that I put on the grid and also my work as a journalist. And I think that it's really important for Pacifica stations to remain a place of free speech, to remain a place that marginalized voices can be heard and that are not, that we aren't subject to Russophobia, the myths and the lies spread by corporate media, that we don't allow ourselves to be inducted into war hysteria. And just like most of our people were not, many of our stations, you know, were not let along about the war in Iraq. We have to have the same type of objective skepticism about the things being told to us about Russia, Iran, China, Venezuela, Cuba, whatever the demonized country. Esther, wait a second.
This huge interference here, if everyone can mute other than Esther, that would be helpful, please.
You know, that we have the ability to have, you know, what I consider to be a progressive mindset toward news and information programming. So I said a lot in terms of the summary I wrote, and that included the fact that Eugene Pryor was a former WPFW programmer. He took a job with Sputnik where he worked for a while. He had a show, and he took it under the condition of complete editorial freedom. I know that someone like Tom Cole had mentioned, oh, there's no such thing. But, you know, this is a person who also worked at NPR. And so, you know, I trust Eugene when he talks about their editorial freedom that they had in their job and it being more than at MSNBC where, you know, people got fired for wanting to cover Bernie. So I think that's one thing I want to say. I think that it's really dangerous to tread down this path of a person can't have a show here, because what that means in effect is that person is silenced, you know, just like even mainstream dissidents are silenced, like Noam Chomsky, Ralph Nader, Chris Hedges. They don't even go on NPR anymore. They don't even get to be on NPR anymore. People who used to, you know, have regular appearances there. So we're obviously living in a very restricted media environment, really prone to not only Russophobia, but real right-wing talking points. And so I want to stick up for Breakthrough News. They're awesome journalists. They put on an awesome show, which they created for us. I also want to stick up for Covert Action Bulletin, which is a podcast from Covert Action Magazine, founded in 1978 to expose the lies of the CIA and the surveillance state. And that's the other show. Both of these shows fill not just spots where, you know, there had been a lapse. In the case of the 1 p.m. spot, the Goethe Institute had stopped sending content last summer. And when I asked the board about it, they said that, you know, nothing had come in and they were just filling it with various Pacifica Radio Archives content. And apparently the program director didn't even know that because she said it wasn't true, but those are the people who are operating the board. And so it was a really kind of, you know, strange situation where I didn't understand. The program director herself didn't even realize that the show was not still running. In terms of restorative justice, that was not running at the time. And it hadn't run for some time. That slot on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., I think, was being filled with reruns from Democracy Now! And so, you know, these were additions that were enhancements to the grid. And I was also a little disappointed, I have to say, to hear Jerry say, you know, what he did, because all these changes, you know, he was supportive and he backed up my, you know.
And I'm trying to get in. I can't get in.
And content for the grid.
Esther, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I just want to finish my statement. And as far as Julianne, you know, I was disappointed to hear. I'm not going to try to wrap up. Disappointed to hear Julianne say what she did. Susan Goodwin say what she said, because I had a conversation with Sue about the fact that Julianne was unprepared for her show at a time when we really needed, you know, the show to perform. It's the first show out on Mondays. She had no producer. I guess, you know, Sue wasn't really feeling like, she said it wasn't part of her job. She didn't really want to do it. And the show was really suffering. It's not very popular with the listeners in terms of them supporting the show. And so my idea was, okay, the 11 a.m. slot is the traditional community watch and comment slot. And that slot has been filled with other types of content, as opposed to it's filled with Monday Morning QB. And so actually, in terms of the fact that she likes to take calls, that 11 a.m. slot was actually better for her, and it allowed her to start her show at 8 a.m. as opposed to 6 a.m. in California. So I just think that those comments about programming, I just wanted to address that and address the fact that that I came in to help the station at a very difficult time when there was no one there, really. And Jerry was answering the phones and on the board and just doing a number of things, and have been there for two drives now. And that the program director came back just as we started the drive. And so a lot of things were already put in place in terms of the drive. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, there are just so many things that need to be done that weren't being done. And so I think that's why I was retained, to try to continue to stabilize the programming, stabilize the office space, even in terms of the atmosphere there, and also to help with development. So anyway, I could say more, but I won't. And I did submit a really long IPD summary, which I hope you did receive, and I'll let that do most of my talking.
All right, thank you.
Sarah, can I make a comment also?